log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm your host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio with a smiling face, we have Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What I would like to ask to both of you is actually a question that's been on my mind, and I'm sure it's on a lot of people's minds. We spoke previously about the resistance front in terms of the media. Press TV and Al-Masira and Al-Alam, these are predominantly projecting the idea of the Islamic Revolution and revolutionary ideals. However, there were other channels as well, which at least apparently they didn't have anything to do with the revolution. There were other channels as well which didn't seem to be projecting as much the revolutionary ethos, and yet they were blocked. It does feel like a calculated attack against Shiaism collectively. So why is my question, actually? And I'd like to go to whoever. I think I'll go to Sayyid Mahdi first.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So here, just a little bit of a quick background. These are 33 channels in total which have been blocked. They have been censored, or in these very, you know, lame terms, they're calling it a seizure, so that it doesn't sound like censorship, but it is really, it is the censorship of free speech and the censorship of media. It is the censorship of ideas. There are 33 total channels that have been censored, that have been seized, they have been blocked, which include channels which are related to Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani. It includes a Bahraini channel, which is an opposition channel based in for Bahrain. It includes, of course, Press TV. It includes Arabic language. Now, Press TV is news. Al-Alam is news. Al-Masira is also news, which is from Yemen. And then there's, like I said, there's a total of 33. So what's interesting is you find that a lot of these are news channels. Press TV, you can't really call it a Shia channel. Al-Alam is not a Shia channel. Al-Masira is not necessarily.
They're news channels, right?
They're news channels. Like, they're just like, it's like if tomorrow the, I don't know, the Chinese Communist Party wanted to block CNN and BBC and RT and Associated Press. I mean, the world would go wild. They would say, who has given you the right to block a news channel, you know? So this kind of censorship, first of all, we talked in a previous
program. If you allow me, there's a common denominator, right? Yeah. And that common denominator is that any channel who is one way or the other, loosely or strictly tied to, or in their calculation, in their research, their means, you know, FBI and the homeland security and so on and so forth, if in their calculation it's tied to the Islamic Republic of Iran, they get to pay the penalty, right? They are going to be blocked. That's a clear message that they send out by blocking some of those channels which are not so pro-revolution and so on and so forth. They wanted to give a clear message that if you even think of going down that route, you're going to be blocked.
And I have here, a follow-up question, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, now, where is this coming from? One of the things that we talked in a previous program was this, that they are vulnerable, right? They're vulnerable. They feel fragile.
The West,
The West does. This is why they did this very radical and extreme thing, you know? And they're vulnerable because they have realized that they're weak. Right, you don't feel vulnerable if you feel that you're strong. Mm-hmm.
And they feel weak because their narrative is weak.
Their narrative is weak, and that's what's happening, is all of a sudden, the Western world can no longer defend their ideals, you know, in this so-called offense. Really, it's a defense of this you know, non-mass mass media, this mainstream mass media, right? So whether it's Press TV or Al Masira or these guys, they are no longer able to defend themselves. They are no longer able to, the Western media is no longer able to promote the falsehood and really protect the falsehood that is coming out with, when it is faced with the truth and this alternate media that's coming out with these things. And they're afraid that the reality will come out. My final thing here is that this seizure and this censorship of these media outlets is in fact a colossal and manifest admittance of the failure of not just Western media, but their whole system and their whole propaganda empire. And it's interesting, ending with Imam Ali Khamenei, right, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, he says that the Western Zionist media empire can be defeated, and this is what you're seeing, the present day defeat of the Western media empire. Don't let the seizure of a few media channels make you believe that they are in control.
There is something very beautiful and benign about the revolution, and anybody who has the Islamic revolution inculcated into their own ethos, whether to a lesser or greater extent.
Right.
And one of the aspects of that is this idea of unity, which everybody on an Islamic level or a non-Islamic level, just humanity, can understand the importance, the beauty of the concept of unity. In our context, we often talk about this in terms of the Sunni Shia schools of thought within Islam. There's at least one channel on that list that I know of which not only did not adhere to the revolutionary standards, it also went against the idea of unity. And so if I was the enemy, just trying to put myself into the Western imperialist's shoes for a moment, it would make more sense to block all those associated to the revolution and leave the rest. Why have they blocked those as well?
Well, like I pointed out before, that sometimes, you know, you want to give a stronger message to your opposition, right? So what you do is you go that extra mile as well, right? So there are some other Shia, quote-unquote, media outlets that have not been blocked. And some of them are allegedly on the payroll of MI6, mm-hmm. right? And we know that. Some others, you know, they were, I feel, one of the dimensions that I can think of is that it's a clear message. You want to be wearing, you know, the libas and the dress of Prophet. You want to be representing Shia Islam. This is a message to everyone who wants to do this. Don't even dare to affiliate yourselves with Iran. So this is like a preemptive sort of a thing. You give a message. Because sometimes when somebody decides that I'm going to do this, I'm going to be part of the resistance bloc, it's already too late for you to give them a message. Right? By blocking these channels, you do a preemptive. You take a mm-hmm. preemptive strike. So those who are maybe thinking that, okay, let's change the direction because the tide is changing in support of the camp of resistance overall. So let's kind of, you know, squeeze in. Up until now, we have not. Maybe there were those plans, and because of those plans, they had to pay the price, or it was a preemptive.
And to add here, because if you read a few of these articles, it's interesting. The amount of, right, the Mossad has this statement where they say, through deception, we will conquer, or something like that. They have a certain motto that's like that, right? Meaning that they're, one of their main tactics is smoke and mirrors, deception, falsehood, lies, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff. And so here you will find certain news outlets saying that this inclusion of non-revolutionary websites was somehow a mistake committed by the Justice Department, and they didn't do their research. I mean, come on, you have to be like totally naive to believe that a system that has that spends millions and millions of dollars on research and analysis, and they, man, they know who is doing what, right? There is a reason, and the reason which, you know, Sheikh Ali brought up for it, there is a reason why they have included these non-revolutionary websites, as he said, is sending a strong.
Mind,
they're doing it on purpose.
Another, yeah, there's another dimension to it. It could be that they wanted them to do certain things, let's say, and they denied, because those platforms are primarily running out of UK, if you notice,
mm-hmm.
the ones we're talking about, right? They denied, maybe. They're like, we don't want to get into this, right? So maybe they're getting punished. We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing could be that they may unblock them and unseize them. This seizure is going to be lifted
mm-hmm.
As a result of some sort of a deal that they crack in future, maybe in a week or 10 days or 2 weeks. I don't know. Just saying that when on the when you come to politics and when you come to the world, you know, politics and dynamics, these are complex decisions. They're not normally based on just one point agenda. You know, it's these decisions are multi-dimensional, multi-layered, generally speaking, right? So there could be lots of reasons I can think of.
I want to add,
is there no possibility that they did it out of a blunder? Because
no, there's no possibility.
I doubt
at all,
this is
man.
This is
I mean,
very childish and naive.
They're spending way too much money to be able to make these kind of silly mistakes,
and it's right in your face. It's not like something you have to go and dig, right? It's right in your face. It's there. You're watching it. You watch their transmission for a week. So all you need is like a 9-to-5 guy, you know, on your payroll. Just sit there, you know, watch, and when you see these words, you know, just put it on a piece of paper. Very rogue, very
well,
simple.
They have computers that can just do that now.
Yeah, I wanted to add
childish.
Something just before the you know the thing the program ends, and that is my own personal humble opinion is that we should be very very careful, and this is a warning to the whole world, right? The first. Part is that the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has openly declared that the United States of America is spiraling downwards towards a crash. It has already begun. He said a similar thing about the Zionist regime, that the downfall of the Zionist regime has begun and it will continue to spiral downwards until it crashes. He has said the same thing about America. This is what we're seeing. If you put all the connections together, whether it's Trump still, so many months later, still saying that the elections are rigged, and, for example, the recent attack on the Hashd al-Shaabi on the border of Iraq and Syria, which the American Congress has said is a very inflammatory and something that Biden should have not done, right? And then the seizure of websites. Which is the seizure of freedom of speech, the seizure of opinion, the seizure of ideas. The United States of America is starting to act like a maniac, and it is becoming a very serious threat to the stability of the entire world.
I mean, it already was, but now it's...
No, but now it's just blatant, right?
Mm.
I have never heard that the United States ever seized somebody else's news media outlets. You know, I mean, this is just crazy. And now you're attacking countries left and right. You're closing down websites and you're sanctioning people for multiple decades. It's really, just like the Zionist regime is a very serious threat to the West Asian region, the United States of America is becoming a very serious threat to the entire
world.
And
actually, that's a good point. Let the record show that this happened during Biden's administration, because if this kind of thing had happened during Trump's time, everybody would be like, well,
was mentally,
you know,
prepared, right?
Yeah, Trump is good. It's Trump is Trump, right?
Crazy.
But no, this is Biden doing this. So But again, is this not a mistake on their part in the sense that this is going to create more
totally it's going
curiosity?
To backfire. Right. Oh, you have no clue. You know, we're already looking at these even secular chat media outlets. You know, I'm not going to name them, but, you know, I've been following them. People who have nothing to do with Islam or Shia Islam or Iran, you know, they're like, they're taking a notice of it in that free world. There is such a big opposition of what the United States has done. It has actually, if you notice, this action of the United States of America has endorsed what we have been saying for years, that they silence the word of logic, they silence the word of truth. Anything they don't like, they silence, right? Anything that does not chime with their own agenda, they silence. We've been saying it. Sometimes it was a bit tricky to prove it. Now it's right in your face. Now you don't need to prove it, right? It has backfired big time, and you'll see. Every time they have tried to suppress the innocent people and oppressed people of the world, it actually sooner or later backfired for them, right? Yeah. I've got so many of those examples which you don't have time for. Same thing is going to happen in cyber world and in electronic media world now. They're suppressing, they're silencing it. You know, somebody who was doing it half-heartedly, now they're going to do it with more passion because it's already proven to them that they were doing it right.
That's all we have time for, unfortunately. A fascinating discussion, inshallah, which we will be continuing, inshallah, next time. From myself and from our honorable guests, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye. A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath. I'm so blessed out here today, yeah, Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and if you're ready, here is some food for thought for you from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When some blessings come your way, do not drive them away through thanklessness.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. Of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in a country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got underway in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believe that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kush garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kush will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome, and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
Cockatoos in Sydney suburbs have learned a new way to scavenge for food, opening wheelie bins with their beaks and claws. Australian researchers have found out that the parrot family birds are learning the ability from one another. Moreover, the scientists have discovered that cockatoos in different neighborhoods have distinct styles and approaches to pry open the bins. Although the birds opening bin lids seems to be a simple action, it shows a more complex behavior pattern that proves animals can learn, share, and develop subcultures. There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Bird burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Luriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Luriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Luriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. And but I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Luriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year. In the U.S., creative designers are trying to raise awareness about the environmental issues in a fun and playful way. A climate change-themed mini golf course has recently opened to public in New York City. It consists of 18 holes, each one featuring an environmental problem or a potential solution like habitat loss, energy inefficiency, and emissions. Designed by local artists, the course is made with recycled materials.
Climate change and the environment are such important topics right now and important issues that faces all of us now and will face us in future generations. So by bringing the environmental issues to the forefront in a fun, playful way like mini golf, it really sparks the conversation and helps folks understand the scope of the issue.
Visitors have welcomed the idea, saying it's both entertaining and educational. Organizers say all of the money made from the golf course will go to two local environmental groups.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. So welcome, dear brothers and sisters. Salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear Muslims, on a special day on this episode of today's special. Today is the birthday anniversary of Shia's seventh Imam, Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters. Today is Saturday, is the 20th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of one of the infallible imams of Shia Islam, Imam Kazim. Peace be upon him.
الفرحة نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
Let's know a little about the birth of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Imam Musa bin Ja'far was born in a village located midway between Mecca and Medina. His father was the sixth Imam whose knowledge and fiqh prevailed worldwide. Imam As-Sadiq was the Imam that Abu Hanifa referred to saying, I have never seen a faqih, a jurist so knowledgeable as Ja'far ibn Muhammad. Old references mention that Abu Hanifa asked him when he was still a child, to whom should committing a sin be attributed? Imam replied offhandedly, a sin should be either from man, from his Lord, or from both. If it were from Allah, it is evident that Allah is fair enough not to bring man to account for a deed that he did not commit. If it were committed by both, then Allah is the partner. In this case, the strongest partner should be fair for the weaker one. Finally, if it were committed by man alone, then he is responsible for it. To him warning not to do, it was addressed, and for his deed, reward or punishment is deserved, and paradise or the hell shall be the fate. Ladies and gentlemen, we offer our congratulations to all Shia Muslims on the birthday anniversary of Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him. Happy Eid. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin istayn. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the moral traits of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salam Allah alayhi. It's indicated that the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salam Allah alayhi, was the most pious of all people in his time. From midnight up to dawn, he was constantly busy with performing prayers, supplementary prayers. And he was very much zealous in performing prayers, salats, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he turned into a very thin person, physically speaking. There's an account that Ma'mun, the Abbasid Caliph, indicated that once he was sitting together with his father Harun, who was an Abbasid Caliph also, and he noticed that an old man came in, he was very pale, and that old man was very pale and very thin. It was evident that too much concentration on performing prayers made him in that way. Later on, Ma'mun Abbasi understood that that old man was none but the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi. It's indicated by the late Sheikh al-Mufid. Sheikh al-Mufid was a great Shia scholar and authority in his lifetime. He indicated that the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, was the most pious, the most generous, and the most impressive personality of his lifetime. And at night time, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, used to go to the homes of the needy people in order to provide them with food, with whatever foodstuff they would need. And at the same time, he wasn't such a personality that to like to be known as a pious person. It means that the religious piety of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far salamullah alayhi was also really exemplary. Thank you.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let
let us rejoice in thee, for this is the day.
Imam Kazem's moral virtues. Imam Musa was the most religious of the men, the most knowledgeable in law, the most generous and the noblest in spirit. Imam Kazem alayhi salam used to pray supererogatory prayers throughout the night so that he would make them extend until the morning prayer, then continue them until the sun rose. He would remaining prostrating himself before Allah without raising his head from prayer and praising Allah until the sun came near to descending from its midday zenith. Another example is that at the beginning of the night, he entered the mosque of his grandfather, Allah's messenger, prostrated himself before Allah, and said, "How great sin is with me. Therefore, let forgiveness seem good to me, O worthy of reverential fear, O worthy to forgive." The Imam used to recite this dua, "O Allah, I ask you ease at death and to forgive me on the day of reckoning." He was the kindness of men to his family and his kin. He used to search out the poor of Medina during the night and take them a basket in which was money, flour, and dates. He would take that to them without them knowing in any way that it was from him. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on one of the best occasions in Shia Islam, and birthday anniversary of Imam Kazem alayhi salam. Congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters.
Eid Saeed, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Saeed, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
It's a good time to listen to some sayings of Imam Kazem, peace be upon him. He said, addressing Hisham bin Hakam, who was his companion and a student, the Imam said, "O Hisham, the pleasure of this life are just like water sea. The more a thirsty man drinks from it, the thirstier he becomes. O Hisham, Allah has against the people two hujjas, two evidences that cannot be argued against. One is apparent and the other is concealed. The apparent one is the messengers, prophets, and imams he designated, while the concealed one is represented by the gifts of minds. O Hisham, the life of this world was once embodied to Prophet Jesus in form of a man of blue complexion. He asked her, 'How many people have you been married to before?' She replied, 'So many.' 'And everybody divorced you?' asked the Christ. 'No, but I killed everybody.' Prophet Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him, said, 'Bow to your potential husbands. Why shouldn't they take the former husband as examples?'"
We have narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he named all of the imams and he gave them their titles. He gave them their description. So one of the names, that, for example, Imam Sadiq, the title Sadiq was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The title of Kazim was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And Al-Kazim means the one who controls his anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mu'mineen وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who control their anger, control their feelings, their emotions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, one of his titles is Al-Kazim. Another title is Babu al-Hawa'ij, the door to the needs. If people have needs, you go to the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. You ask Allah, by the position, by the glory, by the grace of this great Imam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'as. This is why not only the Shias in Baghdad, the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far is in Baghdad, he and Imam al-Jawad, his grandson. Baghdad has always been a city of Sunnis and Shias and people from different sects. But they all revere and respect Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. This was not something that is now, you see it now. And this is also something that you saw earlier, 1,000 years ago, when the Imam was first buried there. And the Imams of the Ahl Bayt, they would insist on their followers to go and visit the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. And others, for example, Imam Shafi'i. The Shafi'i Imam, he has a famous statement. He says, "Inna qabr Musa ibn Ja'far tiryaqun mujarrab li'ijabati ad-du'a." He says the grave of Musa ibn Ja'far is a medicine that has been that we have seen results from it for the du'a to be answered. What does this mean? This means that you go and you ask Allah by the position, by the glory of Al-Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the du'a for the position of these great individuals.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us till the end of this episode of today's special on a special occasion. That is birthday anniversary of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. We offer our congratulations to all dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters. Till another today's special on IRIB English Radio, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.